Hello and welcome to the Haywood County Schools Report. This is Todd Trantham and I'm going to be your host on the show today. Today we're going to be talking about the word rigor with our special guest on the show, Dr. Bill Nolte. Dr. Nolte, thank you for being on the show.
Glad to be on today, Mr. Trantham, and glad to talk about rigor, which is sort of our next step in Haywood County Schools.
And I think sometimes we have words in education that we use and we throw around, and they really become just almost jargon. And we don't take time to define those for people that may be outside of just the regular education industry. And so today we want to kind of do that with the word rigor.
Right.
And so can you begin? Just tell us what rigor is.
Well, rigor is one of those words. When I do this, when I've had these conversations with teachers in schools and we've done trainings, one of the things we said to them is rigor is sort of like the word love. You know, I love my spouse, I love my job, I love my dog, I have agape love. It can be used in lots of ways. Rigor, we use to define rigor what's something called Bloom's taxonomy. And that's, we'll talk a little bit more about that maybe in just a minute. But Bloom's basically shows us how people think from very basic thought, which is not very rigorous, of memorizing something, 2 + 2 = 4, mm-hmm. or memorizing multiplication tables. And that's very important, but that's not real rigorous. And rigor basically is really deep analytical thinking. It's not spitting out something that you read or that the teacher told you, but it's taking facts that you've learned in math or reading or science and be able to pick those up and in your head use those in a different way. You might even use that information that you've learned to create a new way to do a math problem or a new way to do a scientific experiment. So rigor is very deep analytical thinking. All the basic things that we learn, like Thomas Jefferson being the third president and who was before him and who was after him and some of the things they did, all that, that's important stuff. But being able to take that information and apply it to today's world, that's more rigorous.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the basic definition of rigor.
And we talked about this a little bit in pre-planning, that in many ways rigor is as much about what it is not.
Yes.
As it is about what it actually is.
Yes, and we've worked a lot with our teachers. We've been working on rigor about a year now, not quite a year. We started some of the planning for it, and we're a pretty high-performing school district, and this is our next thing to keep us continuously improving and moving. And what we have to help people understand is that rigor is not necessarily more. So if I'm in first grade and I'm reading a level D book, and I can read a level D book, and I read 12 of them, well, that's not more rigorous. I'm still reading that level book. Or if I'm a high school advanced placement student, and I'm reading a book with a Lexile level of 1600, I don't even know if the levels go that high anymore. It's been a while since I looked at those. And that's what I can read and comprehend. Well, if I read 12 books at that level, well, that's not more rigorous. Rigor is more about depth, and we'll define that in just a second when we talk about implementation. And it's not punitive. It's also not a particular course. You can have very rigorous thinking go on in a first grade classroom for people who are just learning to read as well as you can a high school honors or AP class. So it's not about more. It's not about punitive. It's not about hard. It's about deep critical thinking. And when we talk about implementation, I'll try to describe that a little bit better.
Could you give us some examples of what rigor is?
Yeah, and that's what I was just alluding to. And you can look this up if you want to on your iPhone or in a dictionary or however you look it up. There's something called Bloom's taxonomy that was created in the 50s, like me, and then it was modified in the 1990s, and basically it starts at the bottom, and the lowest level is remembering. 2 + 2 = 4, that kind of stuff. Capital of North Carolina is Raleigh, that kind of stuff. And then it moves up to understanding and being able to explain something. Why is 2 + 2 = 4? How does that work? And, you know, people can demonstrate that with manipulatives or their fingers. And then it moves up to applying that knowledge. So they take their knowledge to add, just with numbers on a page, and they go over into a reading passage or a scientific passage and apply that mathematical knowledge in that other setting. Mm-hmm. And that's really important for us to do. And then moving up from there is really being able to evaluate something and justify the differences. Like, how did these characters change in this story? And why do I know they changed? Or what is this? Maybe you're reading a novel or a poem or even a scientific manual, you know, like very technical manual about how to do something. What exactly is the person who wrote the manual trying to tell me, even if they didn't spell it out very quickly, very accurately in what they wrote? And then the very highest level is when you can take that knowledge that I've just talked about and actually create something. Real quick story, and my son's in the band and he's at Tuscola. Tim Wise, every time I've ever been to a concert, will walk out on stage and go, I didn't have much time to work with this group that's about to perform. I told him I needed something this long, using these instruments on this theme, and here it is. And what those students actually did was they took all their background musical knowledge and they actually wrote the music. Highest level of rigor. Mm-hmm. And there are other examples of that.
So Dr. Nolte, why is this so important?
Well, it's really important because our gateway assessments like the ACT and the SAT and even sometimes questions that we have on job applications are very, very rigorous. I do an activity with teachers. I've gone out to most of the schools and talked about rigor, and I've showed them the kinds of questions or the levels of questions on ACT tests. And in the past, you could do well on the ACT or the SAT with just lots of factual knowledge in your head. And now those tests, as well as our regular state test, actually measure the student's ability to think. Can they think through a pretty complicated scenario and produce an answer that might cause them to go through four or five steps? Why? Because that's what happens to us in life. You know, we go outside and something's wrong with the vehicle or the house, or we step into the workplace and something has happened. You know, we're going to do another podcast either before or after this one airs on crisis management, and you're really problem solving and have to think clearly. Mm-hmm. So that's why it's just really important to be able to think and function at a very deep level.
So Dr. Nolte, what are some of the things that we are doing to improve rigor in our classrooms?
Well, we started off by putting it in our two-year district improvement plan, and the schools put it in their school plans, and we have a couple goals around that. The main thing that we're doing is talking with our teachers about the difference between teaching that we've done really well in the past, those first levels of Bloom's, remembering, understanding, and applying, using a math formula, wherever, and helping them adjust some of those teaching strategies up to deep analysis or even taking what they've learned and creating something. I know we've just got a minute left, but I walked into a physical science classroom the other day at one of our high schools, and there was a teacher who was actually having the kids make catapults to demonstrate force in motion. So they actually created an instrument that they could use to measure the force in motion on their own. So anyway.
And that is every bit of what rigor is in our schools and what we should be doing. Yeah. So Dr. Nolte, thank you so much for being on our show today.
I appreciate you being the host today and interviewing me. And as always, I want to thank everyone for listening to the Haywood County Schools Report. Hope everyone has a safe day and a great day.